Coffee Club, Coffee Club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie Morgan, George and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Coffee Club podcast for episode 176. We are very lucky today to be joined by the one and only Rambo, Maya Ramsden, who's been long awaited, you could say, at least in our circles, maybe for the listeners as well, but it's been teased. We've asked her to come on a few times and she's denied us.
Had better things to do, apparently.
Very hard to tie down, but luckily we found an empty Thursday evening afternoon, and here she is, Maya. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you guys for finally having me on.
Full Oceania lineups. I mean, still, I guess it normally is, but
yeah, I'll just stand in for Ollie.
Yeah, a good stand in.
Well, now I'm outnumbered.
Yeah,
which is
very
this
true.
Might be a
not good.
What other New Zealanders have we had on now that I was about to say?
Not many. Not many at
not
all.
Not many. Yep. Shit.
I don't think Sam Tanner's been.
Quaxie was on here.
Yeah,
but with Luis, so they didn't outnumber us.
I think that's it. Oh, I feel really bad if I'm leaving out some Kiwi, but I don't think any others have been on here.
We'll get Sam on one day. But anyway, welcome to the pod, Maya.
Welcome to the pod. And as she mentioned, Ollie is not here. He is currently down under in Australia. We will potentially try call him later. I'm not sure if he'll pick up.
He might be out surfing.
Yeah, he's just surfing.
Something. So we'll see if we can bring him in for a minute, but...
Yeah, but alas, we do have Maya, and we do have a very fun episode. Maya's a very interesting person. She's got a very cool upbringing, a very cool story to get her to where she is now, and we will get into all that. Before that, though, we're going to recap a few results, mostly the BU meet, because that was the really hyped meet this past weekend. We had a full force OEC. It was kind of the OEC meet. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're allowed to say that. If you can take over it, but I think we had a strong presence there, and especially, you know, we had people going for the mile world records, which was probably the biggest storyline around it. So I guess we can claim it. But yeah, how were the vibes out there going back to Boston?
They were a lot better than the first time we went there.
Yeah. The vibes were, or the race was?
A bit of both.
Really?
The vibes definitely.
I guess
were.
They kind of go into each other sometimes.
I always think this last meet though that the vibes are odd because. There's like nobody there because it's not a college meet anymore because like conference weekend.
Yeah, but you're forgetting that last time they had an extended stay in Boston, which they all, the vibes went, the vibes were probably good. The vibes were probably good for the meet. Like new,
I forgot about that.
And then they went down as the weather stayed bad. And
oh yeah, wait, and you didn't even run at BU. It was
no,
New Balance.
Exactly. I would have loved to run at
true.
BU.
True, forgot about that.
Yeah. BU's always good vibes, in my opinion. I'm biased, but I love it there. I literally walked in for pre-race and I was like, this is amazing.
This is my spot.
Yeah.
Do you like racing there more than anywhere else in Boston?
Indoors, yeah.
Indoors?
Oh, yeah.
You don't like racing at Harvard?
No.
Okay.
It's BU is perfect for spectators. Like, you get to be on the track, on the infield. It's a good feeling. Mm-hmm. As long as people don't sort of get their shoulder into lane one.
As long as there's not too many camera crews out there.
Did you guys
what? Wait,
did you see that?
I did see that video. Where was that?
That was
that some conference meet?
No, that was...
That was
us. George, that was us. That was our camera crew.
Oh, okay, wait. No, then I'm talking about something else.
The Virginia Tech guy that actually...
He actually crashed into, I'm pretty sure, a guy with a much smaller... Yeah, our camera was ridiculous. I forgot about that. But a guy just walked straight into lane one during the 1500 heats, and a guy just smashed
into hit real hard, like flying off the track. They got back up, and I guess if it was the hits,
they must have been put through.
They were okay, but it was so weird because he was in lane two. He was kind of like lane two, lane three, filming
the photographer.
But then as the runners came through, I think they like startled him, or people must have been yelling at him, and he jumped into lane one in front of them.
Instead of going out.
Like if he had jumped the other way, I think he would have avoided contact. It was bad. It was real bad.
Yeah, our boom mic. At BU.
Justin
Britton,
a lot of camera Justin time. Britton calling us out. That was...
They were everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got to get the content.
Getting good content, though.
Yeah. Got to make a good video documentary out of it.
The audio is going to be crisp.
Pristine. Absolutely pristine. But
that thing.
Was it... So the meet was delayed a lot, or at least, yeah, the home meet was delayed.
Yeah, it got more and more delayed as the day went on.
Was that chaotic, or did you guys know? Were you guys calm, cool, collected?
For us, it was okay, because I guess we found out, the Milers found out, like, before we got on the bus, or before we got in the Uber, so mm-hmm. we waited at the hotel. So that was fine, and then it didn't get delayed anymore. But
it was like a whole hour, almost.
It was like a half hour for half us, hour? And then between the miles and the 5K, it got more and more delayed. So the 5K people were in trouble.
Yeah.
It was a little brutal.
I was trying to watch on the old Discord. I was getting real stressed out when there was just heat 9 out of 13 of the 200. And they have like two or three people in each heat. And it's just like, I really want to watch the miles right now. I had a friend who's actually been on the podcast before. Remember Colin? He was there watching. They got delayed so much, he had to leave.
No.
he had to leave. And then I think he came back later and everything was, he missed it all. So it was sad. But
what was going on in there?
I think they're just optimistic about how long it takes to set up blocks.
How many heats they can fit into however many minutes.
Is it true that this meet was run by a different, I don't know.
It is true.
It's run by different than the normal mm-hmm. BU, so maybe that was a factor.
Yeah,
it's
but
like not
the
run
normal
by BU.
BU are also delayed.
Oh, okay. So yeah. I mean, at least when I went there, it was like very efficient.
I mean, if you're in heat one, you're fine.
When there's like 20-something sections of the mile, basically start the next one, and there's people still like literally
coming
on the track.
Home straight.
Whereas this one seemed just a bit disorganized. For example, when I watched the men line up, and I think the same thing may have happened to you guys, I saw Yared in lane one, and I was like, why would they put Yared in lane one if he's going behind the pacemaker? Like, that's just kind of dangerous. And then it took them a few minutes and then they ended up putting him on the outside. But it was just a lot of like stuff. Like he had to redo all his numbers and stuff like on the line. So it was a bit of...
They're definitely like rearranging people on the line. And maybe the lights. Like, they never have lights there. So
wave lights.
Yeah.
The wave lights.
Yeah. Wave lights at BU. Is that the first time?
First in my memory.
So I'm grateful for them, but I am a little bit like...
Extra layer of...
BU supposed to be...
What's BU supposed to be?
I don't know.
Wave lights suit BU a lot.
Low tech.
You think so?
It always has been.
I guess. Times are changing.
I guess so.
So we're going to go through the races kind of maybe backwards. And as in, we'll end with the mile recap, and we'll start off with Sage had a solo 1K out there. There's not much to say about Sage's race because she was solo grinding, and she pushed it hard through 8, and then she had that last 200 was tough, but she won 2:36, finished off the indoor season. So I think she's just happy to be done with it and move on to outdoors. But yeah, no competition, so it's like running a 1K is not very fun.
2:02 solo.
Yeah.
And she by herself.
Went very fast. So that was impressive.
Yeah.
Looping all the way around to the 5Ks. So we had good presence in both 5Ks and a lot of hope. The women's 5K was paced by Maya and Cinta, who got it off to a beautiful start. Did you enjoy pacing?
No.
No, not at all.
I was like, I didn't think it was going to be that hard, but I didn't have to go the whole way. It was terrible. I'm like, I cannot run a 5K. For a while, it was so hard.
Yeah. Normally, so if you respect. Do one, you wouldn't have just run a mile.
I'm like, I had 90 minutes.
I mean, a week would be better.
Yeah, just a lot of respect for those people in that race. I'm like, that
did you have wave lights to pace though?
We did have wave
that's
lights.
That's actually that's the best that's as a it. Pacer.
Yeah,
and they were bang on. Like the pacing was.
It makes it so relaxing. Not even, I mean, still hard, but like you just don't have to stress about.
No,
the pacing.
I enjoyed the lights as a pacer. A lot, actually.
It's almost more important for the pacer, arguably.
Definitely, I would
definitely,
say.
Definitely, yeah.
I think so. Yeah. I think that's because that's where you'll probably have the biggest impact on the race is running mm-hmm. like as even, consistent splits as possible and at the right pace early on. I would say so. So,
it's also like you do kind of have to look down. And so if you're racing, it's much easier to stare at someone's back than it is.
Yeah, were you actively looking to the left of you and seeing? It's kind of confusing because it's a long line of lights. It's like, are you actively trying to stay at the front of the lights?
No, but as long as you can, I was told before, as long as you see them in your peripheral vision, you're good. Like as long as you can kind of see this glimmer, you're okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that made it easy.
Yeah. And then you also probably had coaches like yelling splits at you as well.
did have coaches. They weren't yelling splits. It was more just like, you're good. Oh, or like,
I prefer that, honestly.
Yeah.
That's
nice. I don't want to hear too many times hearing 71. I'm going to be like, uh-oh.
Yeah. But long story short, Josette
crushed.
Had an amazing race. 14:44 PB. Emily McKay, actually amazing as well.
Mm-hmm.
Big last lap. Was just a few seconds behind Josette. Olivia, 15:14. I think we all think that she has a lot more in the tank,
mm-hmm.
but probably was a bit tired off last week's race. And maybe, I don't know, maybe the pace was too quick for her. I don't know. But she's definitely got some big 5Ks ahead of her in the future.
Oh, yeah.
And then on to the men's, we had our boys Kai and Dylan, who, that's the 5K boys. They've been grinding. You've been hearing us talk about how amazing their form has been. And they showed that at Millrose with a couple of 7:30s. But unfortunately, they did not. Their goal was to run the world standard of 13:01, and they are unfortunately just a little bit off it. They came third and fourth in the race at 13:02 and 13:07. Dylan, I think, was maybe a bit tired in Kai. I don't know. I haven't specifically asked Kai how he felt in the race. I haven't asked him that question now that I think about it. But 5Ks are hard, you know.
Yeah.
They're really hard, and the pacing was bang on 12:55 pace. Go through 3K and 7:45. Shout out to the paces. We had our two boys, Ollie and Yared pacing, but then Anthony Caminieri.
Amazing.
Oh my God.
Yeah, MVP.
He should have just stayed in. Like, he went through about 3,800 or something running 7:45 through 3K, and just amazing job. And yeah, Kai, I think did Kai drop off him already before and Nico went around him?
No,
Kai
led a few laps.
And then Nico.
And then
put the afterburners on.
I think it was like either predetermined or Nico made a decision like halfway through that 5 laps to go. It was, and he just blew it open. It was just like at five.
Yeah.
It was gone.
Because once Kai led, it was a couple of slower laps. Like, not that much slower. But the thing is, when you're running, the thing with the 5K is it seems like, it's like a distance event. It seems long, but there's not much room for error at all. If you're trying to run sub 13, you're going through in 62s or whatever that is. So if you run like 64s, which is still really quick, you're just losing time.
Yeah.
65s in their case.
Yeah.
And that's how, it was a recipe for either that to happen or to run 12:50 in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it obviously worked out so well for Nico.
Yeah,
who was in incredible shape to run number two. Or that would have been the American record until
a couple weeks
Grant
ago.
Just broke the world record.
Yeah.
So if you're running 12:55 pace, like in a 5K, you want to close. You don't want to. Yeah. You don't want to either run even or die. That's just a terrible way to
but
feel.
But we've already talked about this. Kai likes to run even.
Yeah, but. I would agree with that if he got the standard.
Yeah.
I think he needs to change his attitude towards running even.
Plan.
Because, yeah, I mean, it looked a little bit like Miro's, but going out in 12:55 shape, and then it's like, yeah, all I need to do is run 63s from here to the end. But instead you run 65s, and then you miss the standard. Which, like, is going all the way to Boston to get the standard, and it's frustrating because in Boston you don't get much else for running 13:02, apart from,
hey, he gets good points for that.
Do you?
Yeah, it's like it's worth probably a 12:50 outdoors.
Just because it's outdoors,
it's probably not more than he's. Oh, it's probably not more than Miller's 3K
no,
though.
Definitely
yeah,
not.
And you can't replace
so
that.
Points.
Yeah, it's probably not. So yeah, it's not really worth anything.
Apart from 13:02, still a
well, that's
still a great run. Obviously,
yeah, it's kind of not correct to say it's not worth anything because it's still a very good signpost.
Mm-hmm.
It's.
Oh,
this
shows
he's year,
in incredible fitness.
You're in good shape, and there's still many months and many training sessions, many weeks to just get better and better. And the thing is, Kai and Dylan have both adapted to the training here really well. Mm. They've been crushing it. But I honestly think that sometimes, especially maybe more in the 5K compared to the 1500 mile, or actually any event, some people who straight away, you know, they train, they crush it, and their races skyrocket. Some people, it takes a little bit more time, I think. So maybe that's what we'll see here. Like, I'm so confident the jump, as long as they just keep training, doing what they're doing, the jump will come.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be a big jump when it does come, but maybe it just hasn't quite come yet. I mean, the 7:30 indoors is amazing. And that's
legit.
That's so super legit, yeah. But
I mean, 13:02, that's still a big there's still a 4 second PR too.
Yeah.
So that's still
totally
still good.
Would have been the Australian record
until last week.
Until last week as well. So
and he went out significantly slower.
Yeah. Yeah. So
that's my view on it.
Tough.
No, closing hard, it's understandable. Closing hard just feels better.
Definitely feels better.
He has good leg speed. Like he does. He's got a fast mile.
He's fast.
So, yeah. I'm not worried.
He loves money in the bank strategy.
But
that makes so much sense for him, though. Like, yeah. I would like that.
No, but that is also the way he trains, though. Like, if you train with him, he's really strong. Yeah. Always. He's consistently strong. He's because there's other people who, like, for example, I'd say I'm more like this. I like to, like, progress through a session. And, like, I think George is probably more like I like to feel good. And then, like, work off that a bit more. If you're doing any session and it's hard, he'll go out hard. And if he's trying to run a 62, he'll want to go out in 29/30 through 200. Yeah. That's how he likes to run.
He has a great attitude where he doesn't look past whatever that rep is. It's just like, I'm just going to do this one and then I'll worry about how I'll feel later.
Yeah. It's taken him pretty far. So. Yeah.
You get really fit doing that.
Yeah. And we didn't mention Adrian, I don't think. Oh, yeah. You did. Woodshed, 12:55. Big run for him. I don't know what he's been doing, but I saw in the post it was 6 months since his last race.
Really? Yeah, he's so consistent now. 12:56 last year, 12:55 now.
One of the best runners in the world.
Two or three runs under 13.
Yeah.
Going to the 10 in a few weeks, I think.
Legit. Super legit.
That dude's good.
Yeah. So on to the men's mile. The world record attempt, lots of hype. We had a couple of pacemakers out there. I'm not sure who the first one is, but then Mario was out there.
Did it feel hype?
It did feel hype. I mean,
the crowd was actually there.
There were a lot of, like, because I feel like a lot of college kids had conference.
So the high schoolers.
Heaps of high school kids. And
there were signs.
Apparently, Yared was, like, taking selfies, like, on the start line. Or signing.
Yeah, and, like, sometimes if you were with him and someone came up for a photo, I would just sort of, like, can you wait till after his race kind of face?
You were trying to protect him.
I was, but it didn't work. You know, he's so kind. He's saying yes to everyone. Like,
it's tough.
Getting our bib numbers and stuff.
So, yeah, BU coming. Is so, so there's no separation.
But that's what
makes
it
fun. There's no core room.
No, it's like everything's right there.
Just rock up to the line.
Yeah.
You can do whatever, but
he
that's
handles
sick,
it so
though.
Well, though. And, like, he's so gracious with every kid that comes up to him.
He soaks it up, I think.
Yeah.
He does. And, yeah, just from the computer screen, the hype difference between the mile and the 5Ks. The 5Ks, I felt bad for them. There was watching Nico sprinting away the last K, ripping laps, doing something incredible. You wouldn't have known. Like, if you had closed your eyes, you was like, is there a race going on? I can't tell. I literally cannot tell. Whereas for the miles, it was actually, the just getting announced, everything was hype.
We were on time as well. Like the 5Ks, I also do think there probably would have
been more
people.
You guys were not on time.
Well, we were closer to on time.
Okay.
Like could have been stretched to 25 minutes.
People
are
going to wait. People are going to wait. Yeah.
I think people must have just been sick of being there by then. They just went home by the time the 5Ks.
Like, yeah, it was late. I was ready to go to bed.
Yeah, I got to get out of here. But so pretty
Mario,
much.
Mario looked good up there.
Mario did good. He did really good. Took him out through 1K. And yeah, there was some contention with the wave lights. According to Mario, they were set for a 1600 rather
that
than a 1609.
That would make so much sense.
Yep. That's the word on the street. So, thus, they were slightly slow because they were set for, let's say, 345 through 1600.
This could make sense because I think ours were set. Yeah, that actually could make a lot
that
of
makes
sense.
Makes sense?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Because I think I was told ours were set for the outdoor standard, but then that they were also set for 418. So maybe they were set for something like 418 through 1600.
Okay.
And then 419 something for the. So that would make sense for the men too.
Yeah.
What was not contentious was that it didn't end up.
Didn't matter.
Matter, right? But that would have been if they were right, if he was right ahead of the lights and then they didn't break the world record because it got wrong.
Which you've seen a couple of times before.
Yeah, really? That's definitely happened before.
Elise Cranny with the 10K. Cranny. It happened 1 year where it looked like she beat them and then she didn't. She was just off the time.
Yeah, that was brutal.
Yeah. So it has happened, but yeah, as George mentioned, they went out real hot, but then the wheels fell off just a little bit. Not that much. Still.
It was just the OEC show up there.
Yeah.
It was
It was vintage Ollie.
It was.
Going out behind, which he said, you know, I love it. A man of his word. He said he was going to do that. Yeah. He went out there. He did it. And he was rewarded with, I think, a great race, 350.
PB.
Mm-hmm. You know a PB.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, small one.
Which is sick. Just a little bit off the standard, which he did want. But still, I think a really big step forward is just to feel like himself again, more so than anything else. Yared was still able to close pretty well, like 27 last lap. But he just, I think in those couple laps after Mario had dropped out, that it slowed down maybe a little bit too much. And it was, you could tell it was going to be tough because mm-hmm. the thing is, this is my takeaway. It's like Milrose was just such a perfect event, vibe, venue, atmosphere to go and do something like that. And especially
Hobbs right on his shoulder.
Hobbs on his shoulder. Clipping him. and especially also the way they ran it, where they did go out a tiny bit slower, which seemed to be the way to do it. He was able to be so strong once the pacemakers did drop off. Whereas here, you could tell that once Mario was gone, Yared was working. And like maybe a bit more than you would want to be working at that point if you're going to be able to continue at that pace. And so, yeah, I guess that's 1-0 to Jakob.
He's trying to recreate the Milrose magic is just a big ask.
Yeah.
Impossible.
Don't get me wrong. Like, it was hype, but it wasn't like New York. Like, yeah. it wasn't the same atmosphere as that.
If anyone's been to both, they know what that feels like. But
especially when you're the two-time defending champion coming back and you got everyone going crazy. You've just won a medal. And it's like,
yeah, your first race back.
It's like,
third time's a charm.
Yeah. So it was hard. You gave it a great effort.
Nothing wrong with going for it. No. Honestly, I changed my mind a little bit about that. Well, originally I just thought to myself like, man, it's not Milrose. Like, this is going to be so hard. And then I was like, yeah, fuck it. Like, good trying is cool. Like, let's go see what it can.
Trying is cool.
Yeah.
So, I agree. It's a good story. Like, mm-hmm. And he still ran so fast.
Yeah.
I
mean,
it has like just numbed everyone to running 3:47. Yeah. Like, if that was a couple of years ago, that would have been like, now we're all just so desensitized to how fast.
Yeah.
Just Yared is, but also everyone else.
Yeah, it's really
like he only ran 3:47.
Yeah, it's not even good. You got college kids running 3:48. not even impressive. No, it was amazing. It just showed how strong he is. I think I agree. I think trying is cool. I probably would have wanted to do something different just to give some more variety in my indoor season, because his indoor season is only two races and he already went for the mile. So if I was him, I don't know what I would have done, actually, because the thing is, Yared doesn't like running. He wouldn't have run the 5K by choice.
It doesn't sound appealing.
So that's not appealing to him. The 3K would have been a very exciting race with him and Blanks, and that would have suited Yared a lot.
Yeah.
To line up against good old Blanksy, who had an amazing freaking race.
He did.
29, shout out to him.
Go Graham.
So, yeah, but you can't hate on Yared for going out and giving it his all. You can't hate on anyone mm. for doing that ever. So,
what's cool is he's going from two world record attempts to his next race will be Grand Slam, which hopefully will be the complete opposite.
Getting slammed.
To any of this
bullshit. Pure racing.
Yeah, any of this time trialing nonsense at BU. I'm so glad BU's done for another year.
Really?
I'm just saying that. But something needs to change, like, in the last few BU meets, they're just so watered down because they're just so spread out.
But the thing is, then you get something amazing that happens and it makes it all worth it.
Yeah, but like each one of them had like one person or two people break 13 minutes. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Let's just combine that. Stop offering these other options. BU just makes too much money, I guess.
Yeah. I see what you're saying.
They still each
individually had cool things, though, if you think about
100%.
It.
100%.
I think there has to be room for both. Like,
if that was just one meet, that would be so sick.
It would be. But then it wouldn't be BU, then it'd be Milrose. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
I am excited for the Grand Slam, though, situation. Like, I'm excited to just see people racing.
Just to finally a change up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Actually, sorry. The only reason they need so many BU meets is probably for the college kids, not for the pros.
Exactly.
They should ban it for the pros.
And they should. They should. Like, all of them should be banned for the pros except yeah. like one.
This is the pro one that's allowed. Like,
this is the only one you can enter as a pro.
Yeah. But yeah, it is starting to get exciting. Excited for Grand Slam time with a lot of people now that like, yeah, it's like, yeah, my next race is Grand Slam. So we are starting to look forward.
It's so cool.
There was a Tom Wang forwarded me an article today. I don't know if you guys saw this, that they're apparently Wild Athletics is looking to get some Saudi money to take him on. Yeah, big money.
To take on Grand Slam.
To make a take new setup that's the same.
Saudi Slam.
But I don't know if it'd be the same at all, but it's just money, you know? It's just something to...
The Saudis are putting money in every other sport in the world. Yeah. May as well put it in track and field.
I for one, would welcome it. I think, like, why not? It was controversial in golf. Why was it so controversial in golf again?
So much more controversial in golf than all the other sports.
Yeah. Like, people don't really hate on the other ones as much as golf. I think, was it because I guess golf is a more traditional sport and they weren't allowed to do... Well, they weren't allowed to do PGA stuff, right? Or something?
Yeah, but it was people, like, just actually getting called out for accepting money like from a state that doesn't have great human...
Okay. Should we talk about sovereign wealth funds and sports washing? Is that what it's called? Is it called sports washing?
I don't know.
What is that?
It's like greenwashing. It's like when companies... It's like when evil corporations do... like donate money to good causes to make them look good, even if they're still acting evil. That's what people accuse these. That's what they accuse. Like,
I get it.
You know?
Yeah.
But my thing on this is that's the way it's been done forever.
Yes. Yeah, you know, has always been.
But well, not even with sports specifically, but let's take like a lot of wealthy American. Sorry, this is maybe not where you thought the podcast was going to go today. A lot of the thing is, a lot of people that get really, really, really rich don't do it almost. All of them don't do it through like fully moral things, you know? Mm. But then let's take like the Rockefeller Center or whatever. Like, I don't know exactly how the Rockefeller family got rich, but I assume it wasn't like charity. I assume that they were like made money off like people and then they like donate to like the center. And then it's like that they do that so to make their name look better and their image look better. And that's obviously what a lot of these countries with their massive sovereign wealth funds from their oil money want to do. They want to change the perception from being like, oh, that's just like oil money to, oh, they're like investing this money into good things. And then hopefully these sports can then become self-sufficient, but like good things on their own, I guess is the end goal. But yeah, I don't really have a problem with it. You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's just that like Norway's sovereign wealth fund compared to Saudi Arabia's sovereign wealth fund. Well, like not this... Norway has the biggest, I think.
Yeah, Norway has the biggest. What are they?
Jakob should get them to...
Norway? See this? Are you going to criticize them? Because theirs is from oil.
It is. I'm not... That's not. I wasn't saying that Saudi's not from oil. It's just... It's their other shit they do in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, yeah.
They're like...
So don't accept money from them.
Yeah. Not because it's from oil. Because
their laws
human,
and stuff.
I don't know.
That's true.
Whatever the word is. They don't do some great stuff there.
Mm. That's true. That's very true.
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense, but then what are you going to do if someone's offering hundreds of millions of dollars to save your sport or to make your sport better?
I have to give this more thought.
It's going to happen.
But think about like...
This moral dilemma is coming.
Think about this could just go on forever, this talk. Yeah. I'm thinking about like pharmacy companies that like sponsor like big sports teams and stuff. And
100%.
It's like... They probably do like a lot of really bad shit as well.
But they used to, they used to talk about this in Fiji because the secondary school's athletics is sponsored by Coke. And it was always like, oh, but Coca-Cola is, I don't know if it still is, but Coca-Cola is so bad for you. But also it's like that competition is quite literally changing people's lives. Like it's bringing them into the sport. And then what do you do with it?
Yeah, it's just a hard line to draw because then you have to reevaluate every aspect of your life and look at how... like make a moral judgment on all these other things which you probably take for granted and you're like, well, this is probably funded by some evil stuff. I don't know. It's a tough one. But with that said, I think...
They should definitely get into track and field.
Yeah, they should.
Even
the playing field. Let's take some of that Cristiano Ronaldo money.
It's just, yeah, between him and Neymar, they could have funded our entire sport for the next like two decades.
The sums of money that they get, I think, just absolutely mind-boggling. Like, I think that they, I don't know how that much money exists for one person to just play some games of soccer. It's crazy. But this is all just a preamble to, this is all lead up to the women's mile at BU. To bring the excitement full circle. So, Maya.
Yes.
In your words, what was the goal for this weekend? What was the goal for this race? What's the context?
Context? First couple races of the season didn't necessarily go as planned. Really wanted to get a world indoor standard. Did not get that. And more than that, like, that's one thing, but the first two races were tactical, and personally I don't feel like I executed particularly well. But mainly it was like, I want another opportunity to race this season, hopefully at World Indoors. So we need the standard, which was 4:22.5.
Mm-hmm. Which is not slow.
Not slow. Last year, the context also is that last year it was 4:26 flat. And then this year it's 4:22.5.
That is a big change.
So they really, they ramped it right up.
And Cinta was also essentially in the same boat.
Yeah.
Going into the race. You two have been training together, but also racing together and feeling similar vibes. Speaking to her, it was like, all right, let's just go. It was kind of like, at this point, nothing to lose.
Nothing to lose at this point.
Let's go for it. We're at BU. We'll have good pacemaking, like reliable pacemaking. Mm-hmm. It'll be a fast race. Let's go for it. Let's actually, you know, show that we've been doing these amazing sessions. Let's go show it off in a race. And that's essentially what you guys went out there and did, which is absolutely awesome to see.
I was also getting really tired of keep mentioning that the New Zealand mile record was going to be challenged by Maya. And then you kept running like exactly like 4:24, like just off it. And I was like, fuck, I'm going to have to talk about it again.
She's going off it again.
This time.
Lame. It was that big thing, obviously.
Yeah,
it was.
It's been in my mind since last year when I missed it. I was quite close to it last year.
At Millrose?
I've been trying to say.
Yeah, and then, yeah.
Long story short, you crushed both those things. You both ran.
4:21.
4:21 each for you and Cinta.
Yeah, we were separated by like 0.05. So
yeah,
it's almost like we trained together.
No, it was sweet to see you guys come through second and third, and just knowing how the frustration from the last couple of races, and just but seeing like how much great work you guys have put in, it was really, really cool to see that kind of validation, and it just sets you up really well to go to China and race World Indoors in a couple of weeks. Not that far away, really.
3 weeks, less than that.
Yeah.
It's the 21st, but yeah, definitely got a lot of confidence from that.
Yeah.
What do you think was the main difference to the last two?
I was just fed up, to be honest. I was like, at a certain point, I was like, I'm training so well, I need to stop going to the back.
Yeah, good energy.
Just sent it. But also, historically speaking, my first race is not my best. So I think just getting into the race rhythms again, it had been a while. So
yeah,
for sure.
That's always a bit of a transition, not just as a pro, but also to Dathan's training. Like in college, there's always like early season meet that really no one's watching.
That was important.
It doesn't matter how you really run. You can just ease into it. And either just as a pro, there's not really those, or there are.
We don't go to them.
But really doesn't do them. But yeah, a lot of people do go to like UW meets.
I
or
mean, a lot of makes miss people
even
still do.
People racing the dome. Yeah. Whereas Ritz is like, all right, first race, Millrose.
Yeah.
Let's make it the best race.
Race. And I let that get to me for sure.
It's a bit of a transition to make in some ways. Maybe mindset wise, maybe also physically.
Mostly mindset.
But race number three. It's all good
race
now.
Race number three, it's figuring itself out.
It must have been a little bit tough to wrestle with those feelings of just wanting to go for it with the pace that ended up going out in the race because it was so fast. I mean, you and Sin did a great job at measuring your effort.
Yeah.
Because the pacing was very quick and you had, you know, a few women that actually like just said fuck it and went with it.
Yeah.
And you guys were even gapped, which is crazy because you guys went out so quick still.
We went out so quick. Yeah.
Did you think that she was like, did you think you needed to be with Heather to run the standard?
No, but I wanted to be with Heather.
Yeah.
I just wasn't.
It was just
I think the plan was to just stick with Heather and Sue's and like anyone else who was up there on the lights. But then it was quick. It was so fast. And we had people telling us like, this is really fast. Not like, no one's going to stand on the infield and say, slow down. But you know, there's other ways of saying that.
They're going to imply it.
And also Cinta and I didn't plan to run together. Like that was not like, we didn't have a double meeting with Dathan to be like, let's help each other.
Yeah.
It just so happened that way. I think also we're just very comfortable running in front and behind one another because that's what training is every day. Yeah. So actually like, you know, obviously in hindsight, you're like, oh, should I have stuck on the pace lights for a bit longer? But then, yeah, there were a couple people going backwards in the last lap. And it's always more fun, I feel like, to be sort of chasing people down than it is to be hanging on for dear life. So I think the race achieved everything it needed to, like standard, record, and also just mentally a very good step.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, congratulations.
Thanks.
And also, yeah, we should shout out Heather McLean.
Yeah. Oh, she was amazing.
She's been on fire this whole indoor season. Ended up breaking the 1500 meter record because she
359 indoors.
359.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I looked up who the, I found out who the person it was who had it previously.
Asterix.
Yeah. It was some name that I'd never seen before, but it was from a long time ago. Not
and
that
it was
long
like,
ago.
But it was like multiple months afterwards, something.
Yeah. She tested
happened.
Positive for drugs that same year.
Yeah.
But it was a name that
how long ago?
I want to say like 2003.
Oh.
20 plus years ago. Wow. Wait, so
I don't know. I could be wrong.
I definitely was not paying attention.
Elle's mile American record didn't have a 1500 split, or actually she just didn't get it and she just had an incredible last 109 meters.
Oh, it was at Millrose, so it must have had a 1500 split.
Yeah, I'm imagining it's the second.
She must have had an amazing last 100 to get the mile, but not the 1500.
Yeah.
Which I guess may make sense because here you guys went out very fast, so maybe got the 1500. Held on to the mile, so then didn't run 4:16 or whatever Al ran.
Also, Heather ran 4:17.01, I think. So it's like
it's not that.
It
far
wasn't
away.
That true. Different from the other one.
We could call it 4:16.
That's funny. Yeah. You get they can hold one each. Almost always, I feel like you just get both if you are gonna get one.
Not for the college guys either, or they're sharing one.
Oh yeah. Wait, they literally
they ran the exact same time.
Yeah, that's insane.
Wait, who did?
Gary and Ethan Strand tied the 1500 split.
Oh, really?
Like to the millisecond.
That's crazy.
But Strand had a just better last 109.
So we should all just run the 1500.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't be mad. How would you feel if they changed all of indoors, like including like the world indoors to a mile? Would you like that, or would you prefer them to change it all, every single indoor race to a 1500?
Pretty neutral, honestly. I think it's fine having both.
I do too. I think there's like so much history attached to the mile. I like that part.
I almost think the historical races like Millrose should always be a mile, but I'm happy for Worlds to be a 1500.
I like that. Yeah.
Honestly.
Fair enough.
And I think collegians should, I think NCAA is still cool that it's a mile.
Yeah. I'd be okay if it was all a mile. Like if Worlds was a mile as well.
Indoor 1500s are kind of hard. Like I never know where I am.
The start kind of sucks in an indoor 15. Yeah. Because you just start right on an indoor bend.
Yeah, on the bank.
As opposed to the mile where you get to start on a nice flat bend.
Yeah. Fair. Well, shall we try to give Ollie just like a little call?
Let's give him a call.
See if we can get a little race recap.
I have no idea if this is going to work. He said, I just woke up. And I'm getting coffee.
Great timing. That's actually impressive if he slept that long. That means he's sleeping till just mid-afternoon
US
time.
He's definitely just so jet-lagged that he doesn't know what time of day it is.
Normally you wake up early when you go home that way.
Yeah, because at like 6 p.m. you hit a wall and you can't recover.
Yo.
Yo, what's up?
How's it going?
Hey, Ollie.
Oliver.
Hello.
Hello.
It's currently pissing down here.
Beautiful.
It looks
good.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it is.
Really is.
I don't know how good the connection is, but we're just
there we go.
Heading
thanks.
In.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's so green.
Looks tropical.
Oh,
Tropical rain.
It's very wet. It's very wet right now. I got to figure out when I'm going to long run, so.
You have to long run today?
Bummer.
That's
long tough. Run today, 16 miles, 16 smackles. So, yeah.
Sorry, is this day, is this day one or is this day two?
This is day... I don't know what day it is.
Did you arrive yesterday?
Day two.
What day of the week is it right now?
Heck, what day is it? Yeah.
Asking the tough questions.
Friday. It's Friday.
All right, he's on top of things. How are we doing? He's ready to go. We're doing well here. We've just been recapping the old BU meet, and we talked about, obviously, your race a bit, but we wanted to hear it from... What's that? From the horse's mouth? What is that saying?
That sounds right.
Sounds like something Ollie would say.
Do tell us. I'm a horse. Do tell us. How did it feel to get after it? I'm not sure what your splits were. I assume they were extremely quick and be rewarded with a nice little indoor PB, 350.
Yeah. it was pretty good. I mean, we were feeling... Pretty ready to go. Everyone was pretty hyped, and I reckon I ran a really good 1209 meters. So we're just relying on Mario, and then once I think when it got to about three laps to go, I started creeping up next to us, and then I was like, oh shit, we're slowing down, and the pace lights were on. So we were a little ahead pace, but it felt pretty good. The last 400, I just didn't have the list, got a bit detached and a bit lost a bit of focus, which was a bit annoying, but it was pretty good. I think it was a good positive.
This is not going great.
I was like, damn, this is it. We're going to run something pretty bonkers. But, yeah, I was pretty happy with it. I mean, I'd love to run a faster 400, but last 400, but hopefully that will come through in the next few months. But it was great to race with Yara again and Mario. Mario's pacing, so it was cool to have the three amigos back together in some form. And, yeah, that was pretty good. That was pretty good. But other than that... the pacing duty that I had to do for Kai and Dylan, that was hard. Yeah. And Yara was like, I remember Yara was going like, oh, I can do a mile easy. That's like no problem. I could probably even do 2K or 3K. And then Yara dropped off exactly at a mile. He's like, yeah, I'm not doing this. It sucks. And then I did 2K of the pacing with the boys. But yeah, it was a pretty – BU is always a fun place to go. I mean, the amount of people that go through there, the amount of heat that they run, all those people that worked there, they all came up and said things to come. And I tell you what, it's good vibes there every time I go. So it's always nice to go to BU and obviously thank them for sending out meets like that, because it's pretty fun to go there and just see how fast you can go sometimes. But yeah, it's a good time. It's pretty good here as well in Australia. We're at the beach house, family beach house right now, and it's pissing down. Chris said, yeah, about 16 miles in the rain. Meg is having coffee and some fun times with mom. So, but yeah, vibes are good. Training is going to go well. And BU was pretty good for me. I got a little PB and only up from here, right, Morgs?
Hell yeah, bro.
Sounds very wholesome. How was Boston to Sydney travel?
Mate, that was the worst fucking thing I've ever done in my life. Like, it was 7 hours terrible. From that's the worst flight was Boston to San Fran. That
yeah,
was the
that
worst flight.
Out. That's so
bad. I felt sick like the whole flight. and then after that, like when I got into, I was fortunate enough to get up for plus points, and slept most of that flight, which was yeah, it was brutal. It was really brutal. I mean, I'm still pretty jet lagged, and I think I got a pretty good sleep, but now my body feels pretty good. I did some decompression, and I'm going to do a lift today. There's some old weights or some old bricks outside I can just lift around.
Stones.
And I can chop wood or something, I don't know. Might chop some wood. I think Meg wants to watch me chop wood and embarrass myself, so I might do that.
Chop wood, carry water?
Yeah, that's what I was going to do, the Mike Smith special. Chop wood, carry water. There's a lot of water around here at the moment.
When in doubt, chop it out. That's what Mike Smith always says.
So what we all want to know, Ollie, is, I don't know, fingers crossed, yeah. when will the mighty men at AA name the team for China?
Monday. I've been told Monday. Will I get the rose? Who knows? But I'm in the bachelor list. The Bachelorette, also known as AA, has one rose left for the 1500 meters. I know the other rose has gone to Cameron Myers of Myers. So I'm Ollie Hall from Hall.
Sometimes the Bachelorette picks. Sometimes they pick the person they like better second, though. Honestly.
Yeah. So hopefully, fingers crossed, they might pick somebody that needs a chance. Needs a new lease on life. George, I should tell you. I have my rental car, my mystery car. I upgraded it because I was like, oh, I need to do it for the bags. I'm driving an Audi Q7, a brand new Q7. It's unreal.
Mystery car is a good choice.
That's not bad.
Sometimes? Audi Q7. It's sick. It's pretty unreal. I'm gonna rip around. But it's
living the dream down there.
You're right. His connection is fading. Hey, right now.
And I'm like, I got in yesterday, bro. He's like, wait, where are you? I'm like, dude, it literally takes 36 hours to get back. Like, I only just got here. He's like, oh, you gotta do it. I'm like, yep, I'll do it. Yep. All good.
All right, well, Ollie.
So that's not changed. He's still worrying about me, which is very nice.
Thank you so much for joining us. It's been lovely, Ollie, to have you on.
Say hi to everyone.
Say hi to the fam.
Say hi to Meg.
I will.
Give your mother a kiss from us.
We will. I'll give her a kiss from you, Morgs. And best of luck with all the training and stuff, and I'll catch up with you guys soon.
Thanks, have a great week.
See ya.
Thanks, guys. All the best. Long live coffee. Oops.
long live coffee club?
Yeah, long live coffee club. I love that.
New mother. That was about what I expected from Ollie.
It's just a shame the connection is so...
Yeah, it kind of fit the vibe somehow.
Yeah.
That he was going halfway across the world at the beach for a little bit.
Yeah.
Prepping for hopefully world champs.
Yeah, Monday.
Must be nice.
He's definitely getting picked.
Yeah.
There's no way, right? I don't know. I don't understand how the ranking system works exactly, but I assume that he's done more than enough.
Yeah, he's very high in the ranking.
And Australia is very good at picking people that are just qualified. Like, I don't know if that's ever happened, that Australia's just not picked someone that has done my tenure.
They had a reputation back in the day. They weren't as nice.
Yeah, now that's they're pretty good. Time.
Yeah,
they're super good. It's an easy trip for Australians.
Yeah.
What's like, is it even a different time zone? One or 2 hours?
2 hours, I think.
Only two?
Something like two.
Oh, that's not bad.
It's not much.
It's pretty nice.
It's still 10 hours, though, on the plane.
It's still 10 hours. It's not the easiest trip.
It's like, it's not that close.
Wait, I guess you did it.
It's not the easy. It's not the nicest. It's not a very nice trip, but the time zones is nice. Mm. So you don't have to really leave. Oh, I guess you still kind of want to leave enough time before to get that long flight out of your legs and stuff. But it's easier than, I guess, the US.
He's planning on going one day later than the US crew, as long as he's selected. Mm.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Makes sense. Great to hear from him.
Yeah. I hope, I don't know.
Did he have a mustache in BU?
No.
Or was that just a...
I can't remember.
No, that's an Australian
As soon
thing.
As he gets to Australia, he immediately looks 10 times more Australian every time.
I think it's the Chriso influence.
Yeah.
I think it's Chriso. Brings it out in it.
I reckon, I don't think I would have noticed if Chris had answered the phone.
I think you guys need to get him on the podcast.
He's been on the podcast. Yes. Yeah. Sorry, he beat you. He was on one of our birthday, our second birthday. Podcast.
They start like merging. When they're together, they do start to like merge into one.
It's awesome.
One Hearing big, them call is so funny.
One big whore bag.
Yeah. Well... Yeah, hopefully that connection was good. When I was calling him, he kept breaking up. I was like, oh, I don't know. I might have to cut this, but hopefully that was good enough.
It's good.
I think it was. But so we just were talking about the women's mile at BU and Maya's recent achievements. And so why not? Shall we dive deeper into the whole Rambo Maya Ramsey story? You're off.
Let's do it.
Okay.
I'm not going to answer to Rambo.
How many people call you Rambo?
Four, and they just, they're trying to make it a thing and it's not working.
Doesn't Joe call you that? Or
he
no?
tries. Yeah. He tries. Robert's tried. Yeah, Farkin's trying to get on that train too.
Rambo.
It's not really working, is it?
Mm. It'll catch on eventually. Maybe he tried. Probably the briefly. Podcast, if we're going to make it happen, probably us saying it on this podcast is the best avenue for us to take.
Well, what's the, wouldn't it be like, what's, isn't it a word that ends in O? Isn't that like the masculine version? What's the feminine version? Ramba.
Rambo.
Rambo. Rambo.
Dad was Ramo at uni.
Ramo.
Yeah.
That's good Ramo. Too, actually.
Yeah, that's dad's.
Nice.
All his old shorter. Friends. Love that. That.
Yeah. No, you can be Rambo. That's fine.
Well, I recently learned that Rambo's like some like military violent like movie.
Oh, okay. No one thinks of Rambo.
I didn't even know that existed.
You've never heard of Rambo?
No.
Great movies.
Totally fits my vibe.
Day. It really does.
Yeah. Okay, we'll have to watch them sometime so you can see your history. But shall we do the, do you want to do your quiz, George?
I think we need some origins first. So then the quiz will make more sense. Because okay. otherwise people won't know. Where are you from, Maya?
It's a hard question.
Exactly. How many countries have you lived in?
Better question.
Yeah.
Five.
Holy mm-hmm. shit. And that's like that's for like decent amount. That's not just like you're there for like 1 week. That's like all these countries you probably, what's the minimum you spent probably?
Ethiopia was 2.5 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bet you guys didn't expect she was going to say Ethiopia.
I don't even know if I, can I name?
Let's
New,
go.
New Zealand?
Yeah.
Ethiopia, got giving that one.
Yeah.
USA?
Yeah.
Solomon Islands? Fiji?
Yeah.
Crushed ding, it. Ding, crushed ding. It. Not sure about that. Probably wasn't the right order.
Definitely not the right order.
What, give us
the
order?
Do you want the order? Okay. So I was born in New York. And then I was in Boston for like less than a year. And then Wellington.
That went full circle.
Yeah. Yep. Then I was in Wellington. And then I moved to Honiara, Solomon Islands. And then Suva, Fiji. And then Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. And then to school. And back in Boston.
Back to Boston.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So, wait, you didn't really, how much schooling did you do in New Zealand?
My first 2 or 3 years.
That's it.
Lyle Bay Primary School.
Yeah. Wow.
I met nice. My, randomly now my physio at home, his wife was my primary school teacher.
Damn.
Small world.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
How do those conversations go from your mom and dad? Like, sit you and your brother down and just be like, all right, we're moving we're moving to the islands and then another island and then we're gonna move to Africa.
Okay, so the first one I don't remember because I was like 3 when we left the US, and it was like moving back, like my parents had been in Wellington and then my dad got a job in New York, so we moved there, or they moved there and then had 2 kids and then moved back to Wellington. So I don't remember that one as much. But I do remember before we moved to Solomon's, yeah, they sat us down. There had just been a tsunami in Samoa, which is obviously not, it's not even that close, but that was like what was at the forefront of my mind of like, this is the big Pacific news item right now. And now my parents are telling me we are also moving to a small island. And the first couple of weeks that we lived there, I was really, really scared of tsunamis.
That's valid.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're really scary.
They are.
Yeah. But they were just sort of like, would you guys be interested? And I don't really think we knew what we were getting ourselves into. But after that, we got some choice. Like sometimes dad would have a few options. Mm. And he'd put them all to the family dinner table and we'd chat about them.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Was it known that it would be, did you guys often know that it'd be like 2 years in this place, or was it like, was it undefined?
No, it's usually 3 plus 1 for postings. And then
an option year.
An option year, if you will. And then typically also you'd come back to Wellington. The context is that, yeah, dad's a diplomat. for New Zealand.
New Zealand CIA.
No. but it just so happened that like this posting opened up, or like they needed someone in this next job. So that's why we did like these back-to-back ones. But everyone's home now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It sounds like a fascinating childhood.
A lot more diverse than mine.
Yeah. Do you think that like has changed your perception on the world?
Yeah. Yeah, I
like did. Those are, I mean, a few, I mean, yeah, that's just crazy countries to live in like such like formative years of your childhood.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel really grateful. Like I think I definitely had an amazing childhood. Like I loved it. I don't know if my siblings loved it in the same way. You know, we were different ages when we did the different moves, and there are definitely hard parts. Like you sort of just feel like you're getting settled in a place. You've just made friends and it's like, well, we're picking up. It's time to go. But I went to international schools, so a lot of people were in a similar boat. Yeah, I feel really, really lucky to have got to have those experiences. Yeah, makes you think.
Definitely. I think probably a lot of people ask now, thinking of you as the great runner that you are and being in Ethiopia. Did you run at all in Ethiopia or no?
Yeah, I did. Well, the funny part is that I have this, like, Dad brings this up all the time, but I remember watching the Rio Olympics when we lived in Fiji, and it was like, it was super publicized, not least because Fiji Sevens won the gold medal. We got the day off school. There was a parade. It was amazing, actually. Like, everyone cried when they won. It was so cool. But I remember joking with Dad, being like, haha, is there a New Zealand embassy in Addis? Because we were watching all of these Ethiopian runners, like, have so much success.
You were already, like, a decent runner at this
point. I was already running. Yeah. I had been running seriously since I was like 13 or 14.
Humidity training in Fiji.
Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't running very many. Like, I wasn't doing a lot of volume. It was like, but I had an amazing coach there. He was really wise and like had good foresight for what, like not overdoing it. But yeah, I was like, oh, haha, what if we move there? And then a couple of years later, Dad's like, yeah, so there's this posting that's opened up. What do you think?
So yeah. Really, it was just a plan all along to turn you into
something like that.
A world-class runner.
No, but it's definitely, I mean, Morgs, you would have seen this when you went, like, it's a really, really, it's very different to the U.S., living in Addis, and I...
Not a good place for running.
Well, not if you don't have the system set up. Yeah. Like, I would go up to Ntoto, like, the mountains where all the pros train, but, like, I didn't have access to the main track in Addis. You have to be a citizen to use. So I didn't have access to that. And I had a few different coaches while I was there. One from outside, one from my school. Like, it was just sort of this turbulent time.
Mm-hmm.
And then COVID happened. Oh, and I left for, like, almost 2 months to go home because I didn't want to repeat this extra part of school because the school years changed. And so it just, I feel like have the benefit of living at altitude. But honestly, the main thing is like, it was amazing to be in a place where everyone was a running fan. Like Mo Farah came and there was some drama because his stuff might have been stolen.
Oh yeah.
Do you guys remember this?
Yeah. From the hotel.
From that Yaya Village.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember going to school the next day and like, everyone, all my classmates were talking about it. And it's like, where else in the world is sort of running news
the top
that mainstream?
News.
Yeah. So that was, I think that was really amazing. It just fostered a love for it, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So did you spend COVID in Addis mostly?
No. I spent COVID partly in Addis and then partly in the US. Dad had to stay to keep working at the embassy. And the government gave us a choice basically to go to Wellington or go to the US because my mom was going to be single parenting. And also my parents were like, I was already planning to go to Harvard at this point. And my parents were like, you're not going to be able to get a flight from Wellington to Boston in September. And I was
True.
Like, there's no way. In March, I'm like, what are you talking about? But they were right. True. So
yeah. How do you go from high school and an international school in Addis to Harvard? Or is that
it was crazy. I mean, partly it was crazy because obviously I sound very American. And so people
we'll get to that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't need to tell you guys this twice. But like people would assume that I would like know all of these references or like things that were going on. I'd be like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Like other Americans at your high school?
No, other Americans at Harvard.
Oh, once you got there?
Yeah, once I got there, they would be like saying these things and I wouldn't know what, like, I don't know, like random food place, like fast food places or like just normal things that people talk about. And then also obviously like, you know how it is in your first years at school. It's like everyone's asking, oh, where are you from? And then I panicked and sometimes I'd just be like...
Just lied.
Yeah. I think my...
I don't know. Antarctica.
Well, then it's like, do I... If I say New Zealand, people are going to be like, well, why don't you sound like that? And then if I say New York, which I know no one there and...
Then like, they'll ask you all when the I stuff was about
three.
New
yeah,
York.
They're like, where in New York? And it's like, well... I was three when I...
They'll start referencing left. All these things like, oh, shit, I actually don't know.
And then if you say Ethiopia, obviously people are like, well...
Now I need the full story.
Yeah. So I think my roommates, the girls who became my roommates, my closest friends at school, like, credit to them. They've heard the spiel a lot of times. Mm-hmm. Egbe probably could, like, give my answer better than I could at this point. So...
Wait, what's your answer?
Well, just, like, the full story. Like, usually it's like, do you want the long story, the short story? And then...
Nice.
Yeah.
Would you guys at your class, in your classes at Harvard, would they ever do icebreakers? Would they be like, what's a fun fact?
Yeah, but I would never, I don't want to open that can of worms.
You wouldn't flex it. I feel like that's what I would do.
What would you flex normally?
I would sometimes say that all four of my grandparents are from different countries.
That's pretty cool.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
What would you say?
I would go with, I finished all 7 Harry Potter books in 11 days.
Did you really?
Yeah. That's psycho.
That's a fun fact.
Twice.
Yeah, I struggle with fun facts. I don't know.
You got too many to choose from.
Well, no, I like, it is a fun fact, but it's also just like, to me, that's just my life, you know? So it feels funny to be like.
But to other people.
It's a fun fact.
I guess I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, to other people, it's a very fun fact. Because it's a very cool experience.
It was a very cool experience.
So were you going to Harvard to be good at running? Or were you going to Harvard?
That's the question.
Because it's Harvard.
I wanted to go to law school. And I liked running. I didn't love running. And I didn't get to compete that often. Like in high school.
True.
I,
what races are you doing in Addis?
None. Or like the international school circuit that was like... Not particularly competitive. And then I would go home.
You couldn't just go to like Ethiopian national?
No.
Club champs?
Yeah. No.
Club champs or something.
But like I started going when I was 2016. I was 14. So I guess when I was like 14, dad was like, oh, are you serious about running? And I was like, yeah, why not? And he's like, okay, you can like join a club in Wellington and like go to some competitions at home. And that was when we were living in Fiji. So obviously it's a lot closer. It's like a 3-hour flight and, you know, much more doable, mm-hmm. logistically speaking. And for me at the time, and I think for most of like, honestly, until I went to school, it was like, oh, my parents are willing to support this. Super grateful to them. I get to go home and compete for a club. I get to see my friends. I get to see my family. Like usually I'd stay with friends or my grandparents. And I get this trip and I have to run 1 to 2 to maybe 3 races max. Like life's pretty good, you know? Yeah. So I got to really like, I don't know. Every time I went home to race, I would also like go to the beach with my friends or get to see my aunt, like, and my grandparents and people I cared about. So that's kind of why I loved running initially. And then when I realized that I could keep doing it in college, I was like, yeah, that sounds pretty great. Apparently the Harvard team on my visit thought I was not going to make it 4 years in running.
They're like, there's no way she cares about running.
Yeah.
How did you even, like, how much did you know about the NCAA, like, running system?
None. From nothing. I was the first
Did you know, like, what conference
school.
Was? Like,
nope.
Nothing. Just like, nothing. Just like a running, like a club. You're I'm just like, going to join
a
running
for fun.
Club.
I don't know how seriously they take it, but I'd like to meet like-minded individuals.
Yeah, that but was you kind had of my
chatted,
vibe.
But you had chatted to Gibby.
I chatted to Gibby. I'd figured out the difference between D1 and D3. I was like, okay, I'm pretty competitive. I think I should go D1. My mom's mom, my grandma lives in the Northeast. So I was like, okay, I want to be in a 6-hour radius of my grandma, who I haven't really got to see all that much of from my childhood. And then I narrowed it down. And yeah, I thought I was going to go to Yale. I loved the coach there. She resigned during my recruiting process and got along decently well with Gibby. It was like, okay, this guy's a lot of energy. I think we're going to get along. And yeah, I picked Harvard.
The rest is history.
The rest is history.
Did Gibby's intensity appeal to you? On a visit, can you tell?
Oh, he's exactly the same. Exactly the same? Yeah. He doesn't really change himself for anyone.
Okay. That's a very good characteristic.
That's
good.
You definitely know what you're getting in for.
Yeah.
He also lived in Italy, as he reminded Cinta and I on a drive over this past summer. As a child, and he really hammered that point home to try and make us seem similar.
trying to relate.
Yeah, exactly. So
was it what you expected
when
Harvard?
You got
or in NCAA running, both?
Oh no, well I also came in the COVID year, so for my entire freshman year it was just me. There were two guys in the fall and two senior women in the spring. And that's it. And no racing. I did one race that year in New Jersey, unattached.
It's kind of nice, though, for you.
It's kind of a soft, nice, gentle, soft launch.
Yeah. I would say we weren't training very hard.
Have a good time.
It's probably running.
Get it out of the system.
I don't even know how much I was running. Not a lot. I was having a great time. I made really good friends. I think, the friends. I'm very grateful for that year now, because if I'd had the sort of investment I had in running as a senior, as a freshman, I would have no friends. Mm. Most of my closest friends I made freshman year or the beginning of sophomore year. And then it's like, oh, this
when
is starting
you were just partying.
Yeah, a little bit, But it's like, you do have more time. I definitely,
You do meet more people.
You do meet more people. But it was COVID, so we were outside. But it's like, oh, let's meet on this spot on the river at midnight. It's okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And somewhere between that year and... when did you win? Junior. The first time I saw your name was literally when you won NCAAs in Austin. And they were like, yeah, this Harvard girl's from New Zealand.
Well, yeah, at the time it was a big upset. Because
I didn't know who you were.
That's fine.
Got into that race. There was a lot of chatter about a certain Caitlin Tui.
There was, yeah.
She
was trying to pull off an audacious double, I think it was.
Yep.
And I
think... Spoiled the party.
Yeah. The year before that, Cinta... had won.
Cinta had won, yep.
And so then the next year it was who's going to win? And Caitlin too had run so fast. She had so much hype around her. And then I think but she did look a little bit weak in the, she had some weaknesses in the heats, I remember. But I think most people were okay, Caitlin too is going to win. And then out of nowhere, Maya Ramsey comes through. And yeah, people did say it was an upset, kind of. But did it feel like that to you? Were you shocked? Were you surprised? Or was it actually more of a natural progression between you and Gibby across those couple of years to get to that point?
I think the actual performance was definitely just a natural progression. But I think everything that came from that moment was definitely an upset. That was for sure. If you're what are your life-changing moments? That was one. I did not think I was going to keep running after college until then.
Mm. NCAA champ in the 1500. That's legit. That changes a lot of things.
It changes a lot. And that was right when the NIL era was starting as well. So that was a huge change.
Got a little attention from a brand, called On.
Started building relationships. I think, the year before I had just missed indoors. So that was my sophomore year, I guess. We tried and tried. I think I ran 8 or 9 miles that indoor season. It was insane just trying to get this standard. I ran 4:36. I was 20 something in the rankings.
Yeah.
So I was close to making the meet, but didn't. And then I was sort of
But you already, so your sophomore year when you came out, which is kind of your first year in some ways, you were already probably the best runner on your team, or one of them.
I had to, I guess I got to train with my teammate Abby as a freshman she ran 4:10 that year. So I just sort of attached myself to her every workout and just hoped for the best. A lot of blowing up that year in workouts. And then the next year I had two super seniors who were pretty good, and both of them had made the meet in years past before COVID. So I had a lot of training partners that year. Mm-hmm. But yeah, then I went to NCAA's outdoors. I met Senta. I was so nervous.
There's the famous pictures.
Yeah, there are famous where I'm like somewhere off in the distance.
Yeah, for context, Senta has these pictures of...
Senta loves these
in
pictures.
The heats. It's in, I think it was at regionals or was it the heats of NCAA's?
It was both. It was both? Two separate uniforms, two pictures.
Where like the race is happening in lane one and two. And then Maya, it just from the pictures, like she's out in lane five and just... She's doing well.
I'm making up ground for sure.
But she just like looks like she's running a completely different race.
Amazing. Yeah, I was. I was like mentally so. Basically, I was like obviously super into school. I love school. I loved school, and then school ended, and all I had to think about was running, and I completely spiraled. I thought I had a gallbladder issue. Like nice. I had to go get an ultrasound. Imagine I'm like this almost 20-year-old woman walking in to get an ultrasound. I'm like, oh no, everyone's also thinking other things right now, and then. The doctor was like, yeah, there's nothing wrong with you. It's anxiety. So
sweet.
There was that. I made the final. I came 10th, I think. I ran a PB. I was like, amazing. This is all I can ask for. But then the next year, like, I don't know, Gibby and I had a sort of hard conversation that summer where he was like, look, like, there's a lot of potential here. But if you want to do this, you really have to figure out this mental piece because this is no fun for anyone. Like, himself included. Yeah. I mean, it's not fun to have me like crying in the tent without stepping on the start line. So yeah, I did a lot of sort of thinking that summer about whether I wanted to do anything, like what I wanted from the sport, I guess. And then the next year was just a great time, really. That was like, I think that junior year was honestly like the happiest running, least stressful.
Most balanced. What did you... coming indoors in junior year?
I came 5th in the mile, which I was disappointed with, which in hindsight is silly.
Maybe that disappointment was fuel for...
It definitely was. Well, then I ran the 3K, like a couple hours later.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came 8th in the 3K because I was like, I'm getting that trophy.
Wow, that's a very impressive. It's really hard to do that double.
It was hard. Yeah, it was in Albuquerque.
Oh my God.
But I also think, like, I don't know, I look back on that now, I'm like, oh yeah, I was really strong, but I don't know if I was sharp enough. And Gibby and I talked about that too from like a training perspective. But then, yeah, definitely fuel. So I don't know, like I thought it was a natural progression. I had a lot of people in my corner telling me how fit I was and how possible it was to win that race.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I don't, even if not on the surface, something in me believed that I could. And Yeah. It worked out.
Well, it worked out. And even more so, you continued progressing very nicely after getting the big win in your junior year. Your senior year was one for the books where you swept it all indoors, outdoors. You represented New Zealand for the first time. You made the Olympics. You set national records. It was really just ticking all the boxes. You must have been having a freaking amazing time.
Yeah, I was. I also, I was like, I don't really remember a lot of that year. Like I was, cross country was amazing. My team made the meet, which was huge because we weren't sure if that was going to happen. And yeah, I had a great time. But then sort of, I feel like January 1st, I was like, I have really big goals this year and I am going to do everything in my power to make them happen. And that, like, I was just sort of like in a cave, in my Maya cave.
Yeah, I mean, from the outside, it was crazy. I mean, you were representing on, you had your NIL, and just, so we were paying a lot of attention, and the team was recruiting you at this time,
mm-hmm.
and it was just crazy to see, because it's really hard to do things like run NCAA indoors, and then also run world indoors.
Dominated indoors, and then and then World Champs was like a week later, wasn't it? 2 weeks?
World Champs was first, and then it's crazy. The next weekend was NCAA's.
Yeah, it was conference. World champs in NCAA.
Yeah.
Like, who does that type of stuff?
That was wild.
It's unreal. During the outdoor season, you're taking trips to LA.
Yeah. That was a fun one.
Yeah.
Crazy times. You were
chasing the Olympics.
Chasing the Olympics and doing all the team. Like, your team was doing great, right? Like, you qualified in the... Did you qualify in the DMR?
We didn't. We were 13th indoors. No. Did you win? 0.01.
Did you win Penn Relays?
We did win Penn Relays. Yeah, that was our revenge.
That was it. Okay.
That was like the best moment of college.
Really?
Penn Relays, yeah.
It's funny because I have, like, at Wisconsin, we had a similar, like, my senior year, we went to Penn Relays and we won, and it was like, it's hard to compare because in track, it's like cross country feeling, you know?
Yeah.
You got, George, you got to do it like every single year in cross. But in track, you don't, would've loved to do it on the track. Get that except for the special meets like pen relays.
Yeah. That was really like by far and away the best college moment.
What was your confidence like through this year? Was it as pristine as it seems from the outside, or were there, you know, those ups and downs?
Like my senior year.
Yeah. That year when you were just dominating.
There were ups and downs for sure. I think I got I had a really good mental routine for college meets. What tripped me up, I think, was like kind of flip-flopping between pro meets and college meets. And they are so different. And I felt very confident in the college circuit. But then like I went to LA and I was so scared. There is a moment where I found out that the rabbit was meant to go through. It didn't work out this way, but was supposedly meant to go through in like 203 or 204. And everyone was there. Like my soon to be agents hadn't made any decisions there yet, but the people who would become my agents, Dathan and Kelsey, yeah. Gibby, like this crew of people all standing there. And I quite literally run to them and I'm like, guys, I can't do this. So I had moments like that. But I would say in the NCAA, I just sort of, yeah, I don't know. I had a really good headspace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then you crashed at NCAAs, you won. And then it was, I don't know, when did you commit to joining the team?
Oh, I mean, I don't know officially. In Glasgow, I told Josette. I was like, okay, I'm coming.
You unofficially committed. Yeah. Yeah.
Glasgow was basically a recruiting trip.
That was my recruiting trip. Yeah. The boys put in good work to get me on board.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So you had Mario and Josette.
Yeah.
Dream team.
I guess, and Yard. We were all there.
I barely saw Yard.
That's because we would go, that's because all the rest of us would go get coffee.
Yeah.
And Yard obviously wasn't coming to get coffee with us.
He was
that
busy.
Was my decision though. That moment was probably like, and then I had to obviously sort out some other things. Like I still was like, I'm going to keep an open mind because there were teams that like had a different recruiting timeline, I guess. And I wasn't like, I don't want to put all my eggs in one basket and say I'm 100% committed to this until I've seen, you know, it's a big decision for hopefully a good chunk of my life. Like I want to make sure I've done my due diligence.
Did any of the other teams actually challenge your thoughts on that? Did they put up a fight?
I think so. Like I took a visit at New Balance because it's right there, and I've been watching those women compete my whole college career, you know, and like I really like what they're about. I don't think I want to stay in Boston. But I talked to a few other teams and honestly, like, you know, also you're getting wined and dined. So you're like, you're seeing the best that each of these teams have to offer. And you're like, wow, this is pretty amazing. And I stand by that. I do think like the fact that there are these pro running teams that like we have these funny friendship / colleague / teammate bubbles is really cool. I mean, obviously I'm loyal to us now, but there are other spaces where I think it's happening. Yeah.
Definitely. Makes sense. And then, so you officially announced the team. Did you have to wait till after NCAAs then?
Yeah.
For it to be official?
Yeah. And they asked me in the post-race interviews. I was like, just wait.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. And then you went on to continue to race. So like you'd already raced a lot at this point by the time you get to the start line at NCAA Outdoors. And then you continued to race so much because you were chasing qualifier for the Olympics / yeah. boosting the rankings. You, mm-hmm. I remember watching you race in Vancouver, just going everywhere.
I don't want to talk about that race.
Just yeah, sorry. And then you ended up eventually in St. Moritz with us, which was nice. I think at that point, well, I remember now that your ranking was very secure, but New Zealand had a policy, is it correct, that you had to be top 30 two or something like that to get picked?
I think for me it was 30, like it was different if it was your first team or like if you were under 23.
I thought it was 22. Top 40 if it was your first team.
Okay.
And the field size was 50 something.
The field was 45 and
40 something.
Ours was it was like 38.
So you couldn't be like the last six or seven people or something.
No. And you need to prove that you were going to be competitive. But I feel like I'd done that because I missed the standard by 0.08.
Yeah, so, you're consistent. Like you're so close and you've been dominating all year. Did you have a moment where you're like, okay, yeah, I probably qualify for the Olympics, or did that not come until you got that phone call?
It did not come until I got that phone call. I remember
Did you get a phone call or an email?
I got a phone call.
Really?
Kat like called me and I was like, I don't know, I was doing something, or Kai was in the other room because Kai and I were like living together for this 1 week that we were in Boulder, and I was like, oh, can I just call you back? And she was like, no, like I'm in a meeting. And I thought she meant she was in a meeting, so she couldn't call me. I was like, okay, no worries. She FaceTimes again. I'm like, okay, I got to pick up. And yeah, then I started crying. And then I called like my coach and my family. And yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was. It was really a
amazing. Well, crazy instantly, moment. I mean, we've kind of talked about this before, but as soon as you youngins, you freshmen joined us in St. Mary's, we knew something special was a brewing. It was good vibes all around, and you guys were just crushing it in training. But what was cool for you is that Gibby was continuing to coach you all through this time period. And that was when we got to get some nice face-to-face time with the infamous Gibby. We've talked about him a few times on the podcast.
He's talked about at least some of you guys on his podcast, I think.
Wait, he has a podcast?
No, he just did one with them.
Okay, I was going to say. I was like, what?
He's branching out.
How does he have time for that?
But yeah. He is a special individual. He's got opinions.
A lot of opinions.
I love anyone who does things differently and feels very... I like coaches that feel very strongly about the way they do stuff, especially if it's like slightly different to the norm. It's just so interesting to hear.
He feels strongly, for sure.
And he's got all this stuff about the mitochondria. I don't know if that's a him thing or that's something that we made up. You have never heard that before?
No.
I think it's a him thing.
You think he said that? Well, there was some thing that like running 6 minute, like for the men, making them run 6 minute was to do with your mitochondria.
That does not sound right.
I think we asked Graham
Blanks. What did
Blanks
tell us?
I think we asked Graham Blanks about it.
Oh, Graham was 100% having you guys on. There's no way that's real.
I think
someone said mitochondria to us.
We've heard that. There's a connection there.
Gibby and mitochondria.
There's something to it. But anyway, yeah, he was awesome to have around, and just I think it was probably cool for you to finish the handoff at the Olympics. Was emotional. I know I got to witness it. I was standing like 2 meters away when there was an official handoff.
Yeah, they did like a weird handshake.
Yeah, got a picture and stuff.
Yeah, I'm like bawling my eyes out. Yeah.
it was epic. I guess we shouldn't skip over that. The Olympics. How was that experience?
It was like, it's kind of like hard to put into words, I feel like. I don't know if you two feel that way. It's just, it was an alternate reality for 10 days.
Very much so.
The actual running, like in the very moment, I was really close to making the final and I was really disappointed that I didn't. But in hindsight, I'm like, I was so fried. I was so, so tired. I was in a hole after that for a couple of weeks, like maybe a month, just emotionally, mentally. So in hindsight, I'm very satisfied with the effort and the performances. And then like village life was great. It's like we'd get up, we'd go get coffee.
Go meet up with the teammates.
Hall. Yeah.
Hang out with the New Zealand. I think, do you guys have your induction ceremony together or separately?
Together.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I got to witness that.
You did.
Yeah, you did.
I was like, I was on a run, and we might have talked about this already on the podcast, but it was funny because it would always gather a crowd whenever New Zealand would do their welcome haka. Mm-hmm. It's probably better. Is there a different name for it? I don't know. Mm-hmm. The welcome haka. it was like just on the other side of a fence. It was like fenced off New Zealand area, but there would always be a massive crowd. So I was just running past and I knew it was the New Zealand area. I saw the crowd and I could just, I snapped a little picture actually.
Yeah, I think Mario took a video of,
we were doing it for
someone, for the next group, I think.
Yeah.
I was supposed to be separately to you, but then my flights and trains and everything got canceled. I was spending an extra night in Zurich. And then we like arrived at the same time. So that's how we ended up together.
That was an amazing thing though. Like that, I don't know.
That was really special.
Our team was the best.
New Zealand?
Yeah.
Okay. easy. you probably didn't even make it down to the Australia team. We were so far away.
You guys didn't let us in.
Yeah, that's true. But you guys probably wouldn't have let us in either.
Everyone was welcome to watch.
We definitely could have.
Everyone came and watched.
Yeah.
Your building might have been just slightly a higher spec.
I don't know. I had a pretty sweet balcony. My room had a really nice balcony, like a big patio type thing.
I did not.
That is nice.
You guys didn't have as nice a suite. Ours is quite nice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It was great though. That part was just funny little dream world.
Dream achieved.
Yeah.
Was that something that you said, like, was Olympics like a lifelong dream? Or was it later for you?
Well, I didn't think so, but then I was recently actually looking at my Instagram archive from 2016 and I realized I had not one but three posts about the Rio Olympics.
Wow.
Yeah. And one of the captions was like,
was it you wanting to be a sevens player?
No, but it was like, good luck everyone in Rio, like hope to see you there one day. And I'm like, cool. I didn't remember that about myself.
Manifested it 8 years later. Yeah. Wow.
That's special.
Yeah, that I lost good. It somewhere along the way and then came back to it.
Rekindled.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah, so.
Two New Zealand teams in 1 year. Yeah. What did you think of starting your first New Zealand team as indoors? Like a smaller track only team as opposed to a very big Olympic team. Because I did the same. I thought it was nice.
It was because
it's like a
different.
Very intimate group.
Yeah.
To get to know, because you don't know that many people. And so I always thought indoors is a nice place to start because it's like a nice small group.
Yeah.
It's less overwhelming.
It was. And then I felt like, I think everyone who was at indoors was in Paris.
Mm-hmm. So and then you know them when you get there.
And also just the meet dynamics as well. Actually being in the call room and having to go so early and the big crowd, although it wasn't really... That part was a little just overwhelming, even more so in Paris. But yeah, it was quite nice.
Yeah.
And it means indoors is like, now I'm like, oh, I really am excited, hopefully, indoors again this year. And, you know, it's like, it's a fun thing now because I'll always have that fun little memory.
Mm-hmm. We got to try and make a cross team together at some point.
We are.
We're doing it?
We're doing world cross. Yeah, 4x2K.
There is. We've chatted the...
Although I heard the Tallahassee cross
country year.
Yeah.
That we're gonna get a team together.
Next year, isn't it?
Well then Sam comes up to me, he's like, oh, we should do this cross country relay. I'm like, yeah. I've been saying that. He's like, yeah, George just told me it's such a good idea. That was my idea.
I hearing this. Yeah.
Just let's set the record straight.
That was in the village, yeah.
I don't take any credit for that.
But that's even more so. Like you're talking about world indoors being smaller, can you imagine being on a national team, but it's only distance runners? It's even more wow, this is real chill. Very different vibe.
Very different vibe
compared to being on a track team. So that should be our goal. Make it all there together. Be a lot of fun.
Is that next year?
Yeah, January.
Really?
Yep.
Shit. All right,
start training now.
Tallahassee.
All right. I'm in.
We're just talking about it at the gym today.
Nice.
Yeah. How fortuitous. Well,
did we cover everything?
Is there anything else you'd like to talk about? Anything that we missed? Any key pieces of what makes Maya Ramsden Maya Ramsden?
I don't know.
Well, if there is, you can always come back on.
Okay, if you'll have.
Yeah. Did you enjoy doing the podcast finally?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Are you just saying
you're not out of the woods yet. You still have to pass your citizenship test.
Oh, which is it time?
Now that everyone understands the context of why Maya needs to pass her citizenship
to prove
test,
that she's
to
a Kiwi.
Prove that you're actually a New Zealander, born in New York, you have a US passport, right?
Yeah, I have both.
Cool citizen.
US cool. passport right there. But running for New Zealand, I'm very happy you run for New Zealand. But where does
what do I have to do?
The international, I'll tell you in a second. Oh, the international schools, are all the teachers American? Why do you have an American accent?
I don't know, because I learned to talk in America, maybe. And then it just stuck.
Yeah, maybe.
Is that how early it happens? How old are you when you learn to talk?
Dude, once, two, early.
Okay, so yeah, I was in New York at two. 1 to 2.
But you probably were, at most of the schools that you went to, were your classmates mostly American or was it very mixed?
At none of them. Probably most, in Fiji and Solomons, there were
Australian?
Not... In Fiji, there were a lot of Australians. Yeah. In Solomons, there were not that many international kids in general. And then in Ethiopia, it was a real mix because there's so many embassies there.
Mm-hmm.
But there were the most, like, that was the one that was like an American school. But the other two were more like Australian aligned.
Did your voice / accent sound different when you arrived at Harvard to now, do you think?
I've seen videos from myself in high school. I sound exactly the same.
Okay.
So I just, but my, like, my sister has never lived in the U.S. She has been back in Wellington since she was 11 or 12, and she still has a very ambiguous accent.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Interesting.
All right, are you ready?
No.
Some of them I made up. Some of them I found on the internet.
Are you kidding? Wait, are these actually like on it?
No.
I was like, that'd be...
well, maybe a couple of them, but mostly they're made up. And I also asked Sam for some help.
Are you kidding? Sam's in on this?
Well, Sam's honestly were harder. They were like real ones. Oh, no. So
I'm sweating.
He feels strongly about.
But we're going to start easy. Okay. All right. What does Aotearoa translate to?
Land of the long white cloud.
All right, correct.
You said that a little too quietly.
Yeah, it was a little
more confidence, please.
I would have also accepted land of the long flat white, but that's okay. All right. How many sheep are there in New Zealand?
I have no idea.
5 million.
Five.
Oh, it's a multiple choice.
Sorry.
Oh.
I already told you the answer, though.
That was okay.
If pretend you hadn't heard it, I was going to say 5, 25, or 50 million. Do you think you would have got there right?
I think I would have gone 50.
I probably would have gone 50 as well.
I think it actually used to be way more. There, we actually have less sheep now.
Where are they going?
We're eating them.
George is farming them.
We're making lamb.
Not sure.
Always.
More other things. But there's still 25 million sheep, 5 million people. So still 5 to 1. But it used to be like 20 to
good
1.
20 to 1, that's outrageous.
In like the 80s or 90s.
That's outrageous.
Maybe the population was like 3 million.
You know what I learned, though?
Maybe there were like 6. Is that right?
I was trying to reclaim this stat of like we have more sheep than people, but we're not the only ones.
I think Australia does as well.
I'm sure.
Australia has like a lot of sheep.
So why do we get this like...
I don't know. I'm sure like Ireland, Scotland, they must all have more sheep than people. Some obsession with it. All right. If I said, I'll just have gumbo, thanks, what would I be referring to?
Tea.
Nice.
What is that from?
It's just like
dunno.
Tea with no milk and sugar.
It's just like black tea.
Nice.
No, it can have milk. That was good.
You doubt me.
describe a manu.
It's like a cannonball, but not. It's like rotated. Like it's hard to describe. Your butt goes in first in the water, and then it's sort of like, honestly, it's like this lift Jason has us do. But it is. Olivia and I do this lift, but you have to jump in the air and then land like that in the water. I'm not doing a very good job, but.
I tried to get Maya to do one.
I can't do one.
At our pool in Scottsdale, but she refused.
Really?
At least she knows what it is.
I'm going to land on my back and then it's going to burn.
It's a big thing in, like, there's like.
Yeah, there's like Manu champs.
I've seen a video about this.
Sam is really good.
Some of them are amazing. He actually didn't. I'm surprised he didn't. People, they do like a double backflip, like into a Manu.
It's quite insane.
Yeah, it's really impressive. Okay, drink bottle or water bottle?
I don't know. Probably water bottle. Yeah.
Just the American way, but that's okay.
But what do you say now?
I actually don't know. I think I say both.
I think you say water
I don't
bottle.
Know what I say either.
Car park bottle. Or parking lot?
Car park.
Nice. Good answer. What's your favorite Tip Top flavor?
Orange choc chip.
God, I mean, respect. Yeah. Yes, you have one, and that was dead on.
Yeah,
but that sounds terrible. Orange
so
chocolate
good.
Chip,
and you can't get it anywhere else.
What is this? Like an ice cream or a chocolate?
Yeah, ice cream.
Ice cream, like Tip Top, is like a little bit.
I like Goody Goody gumdrops too.
Both of those very what? On brand.
Okay.
Yeah, I from the outside you're crushing this.
I don't know what he thought that I was gonna.
It's more for everyone else to just be convinced.
Set the record straight.
Okay, this one. Who is the current captain of the All Blacks?
Oh, I have no idea.
That one was...
Who is it?
I think that was online. I'm not even sure if I know. I want to say Scott Barrett. The oldest, one of the Barrett brothers.
I know.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
But that one, I don't even know right now. I guess they're not even playing.
No, this, the mini season thing is over.
These are references. How far from the beach did togs become undies?
It's a reference. I'm not going to get it at all.
No, would you just, how far do you think?
I don't know.
You mustn't have been in New Zealand for that.
No, I don't think
so. How about,
also, I'm going to,
if you can't see the answer is if you can't see the water.
Oh, no, I was not there.
Makes sense, actually.
I'm also going to caveat this one thing. I don't know references in any country.
Not a reference person.
I'm just, yeah. Okay, keep going. And this is going to be my downfall. I can feel it.
This one is for you because I know you follow Waitangi stuff. What was thrown at Stephen Joyce at the Waitangi Treaty Grounds?
I don't know. I did see this. No, I saw this headline.
It was kind of a few years ago.
Yeah. No, I don't remember.
A dildo.
I do remember. Yeah.
Okay, final test. You have to give the camera your best mono wave.
I can't do it. They made me do it at the Olympics too.
Give your best go.
What is it?
It's like
a mono wave. It's like the most New Zealand thing ever.
You is like, it like wave and then you like just kind of, I don't know how to do it without doing it.
Just do it.
You gotta do it too then.
Okay, fine.
Three.
All right. I'm nervous. I also don't know how to do it.
I have
it.
No Sam idea what this is.
Yeah, just Sam of course this. Has a good one. But you gotta do a little like, there's like a little.
I was thinking it's like what they end the haka with.
Nah.
I thought,
I'd like to see whatever that is. I'd like to see you do that.
A pukana.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I can't do that.
Yeah. No? Okay. No.
I don't know if Maya could do one of those.
No.
Next time we'll just have to open the podcast with a haka when you're here.
I could have got you to give us a haka, so I really let you off lightly.
Next time.
But you did very well.
I practiced the Olympic one. So did you.
Oh, yeah, we did. We trained. We actually, that was what we did in Samaritz. We trained.
We actually did practice.
We practiced the haka together.
Yeah. I would love to see that.
You did see it.
Not good enough. I'd like to see it again.
But it's not the same without its context.
Okay, we'll make a new haka for the podcast.
I don't think I have the...
authority?
No.
Really?
No.
As a representative? I don't know how that works.
Right, Maya, you're a proper New Zealander. I'm impressed.
I made it.
I think she crushed it.
I think she did good.
I was like, because I kind of thought that I would understand some of them just being from Australia. I knew nothing. I knew nothing about what you guys were talking about. That was very good.
Good work. Done.
Okay, I'm going to point to this as evidence next time it comes up, just so we're clear.
You have to do it again for Ollie to prove it to him, unfortunately.
Even if I did prove it to Ollie, he wouldn't stop giving me shit, so.
Nor will George or myself, probably.
Yeah.
Also true.
Unfortunately. But regardless, I think that was a lovely way to end the show. Maya,
so too.
Thank you so much for joining us. I hope that you had a lovely time. And I think that's it from us for episode 176. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we look forward to seeing you all again next week. Bye-bye.